Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, as new images hammer home the brutality of the war on Ukraine, we'll speak to an MP who says the scenes in Bucha are likely to be repeated elsewhere. David Navarro from the World Health Organization, as thousands continue to test positive for COVID every day here. Brian O'Connell finds out why it's now close to impossible for parents to get swimming lessons for children. It's tough at the top of the Premier League as Man City and Liverpool battle it out. Guillaume Balague on that and the challenges of the World Cup draw. And architect Roisin Murphy has advice for homeowners as construction costs soar. If you have a question for Roisin, do get in touch now. 51551 is the text number. You can email todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter, we are at todaywithclaire. But first this morning, the retreat of Russian forces around Kyiv has left horrifying evidence of atrocities against civilians littered across the region's suburbs and towns. As Ukrainian armoured columns rolled into Bucha, a town northwest of the capital, they found the streets blocked by burned out Russian tanks and military vehicles and strewn with the bodies of civilians, whom locals said had been killed by the invading forces without provocation. In the southeast of the country, the stricken city of Mariupol, which has been surrounded by Russian forces for more than a month and suffered some of the war's worst attacks, conditions there remain dire and prospects for escape uncertain. Well, shortly I'll be speaking to MP Vladimir Ariev, but first I'm joined by Liz Cookman, freelance journalist and contributor to the AFP news agency. And Liz, first of all, that situation in Bucha and other areas near the capital city, Kyiv, what's the latest you're hearing?
Essentially, Russian forces retreated, and when Ukrainian forces went in, they found a lot of destruction, but also a lot of bodies that had not been accounted for. There were mass graves. There were people lying in the streets having been burnt. In some places, some people seem to have been executed. And Human Rights Watch also documented a case of repeated rape.
And the number of people killed, that hasn't been verified yet, because, of course, the fear is that there'll be further discoveries of bodies.
Yes, yeah, so there was one mass grave of 30 people discovered, and the mayor of Bucha also said that they'd had to bury 410 people that they'd found lying in the streets.
And I'm sure the expectation is that this horror will be repeated once Ukrainian forces can get into other parts that were targeted.
Yeah, a lot of people are very fearful for what will be found in Mariupol if that's liberated. Of course, it might not be. It might end up staying under Russian occupation. But the situation in Mariupol is very, very bad indeed. And it's been cut off for around a month now. And basically, there's heavy fighting in the streets as well as endless aerial bombardment. People, I'm in Zaporozhye, which is the first part of Ukrainian held territory from Mariupol. It's the city where the people who are escaping Mariupol come to register, to get a night's sleep, to get some food before they head on towards the west. And people I've been speaking to have painted a very, very grim picture of life in Mariupol. One woman I spoke to last night said that when they tried to leave, there was a group of 20 neighbours. When they came out from the basement, the first two that came out were shot. I spoke to a woman who said that her friend had to kill her family dog to feed her children. There's also reports of many, many, many bodies lying in the street unaccounted for. So people are very worried about the death toll there.
How did they get out, those people you spoke to last night?
So there's been a lot of attempts to establish a humanitarian corridor that have all failed. At the moment, the only way to get out is to physically get yourself to Melikina, which is a nearby village. And then from there, there are volunteers taking cars to try and help people get out. And you can also pay people to take you out on a car. But to get to Melikina, it's in some cases a 20, 25, 30 kilometre walk. And the particular worry is for the elderly and for the disabled, who find it very difficult to get out. They don't have the means to get out. Some people have said that people have frozen to death in their homes because they couldn't get out. And there's no water, there's no food, there's no electricity. So people who are vulnerable, it's a particularly difficult situation.
And we have heard on this programme in the last number of days that there aren't any aid agencies in Mariupol. It's simply, I would imagine, too dangerous to try and get in there. But are there any aid agencies in the outskirts, even in Zaporizhia, helping people once they do get out?
Yeah, so the Red Cross has a presence here. I've seen a lot of aid coming in from Poland, from various different groups. And the Red Cross have also been trying to get to Mariupol. They had a couple of failed attempts. They're still trying. And I've also spoken to a number of individuals who are the only people, in fact, taking in aid. So there are people who are from Mariupol who themselves have fled, or perhaps people who have family who are trapped there. And they take private cars packed with as many supplies as they can gather, and they take those in, and then they bring people out when they return.
And taking an extraordinary risk in doing so. The people you've met, Liz, the people who've managed to get out of there, they must be just incredibly traumatised.
Yeah, very much so. There's very mixed reactions when they arrive in Zaporizhia. Some people are, there's a lot of tears. Some people get angry, but there's also a lot of people who are incredibly happy, like covered, you know, huge smiles. They're just so happy to be out, so happy to be in safety. But yeah, there's extreme trauma, and it's particularly difficult for men who find it very hard to speak about. There's a lot of guilt from the men, I think, who feel that they didn't do enough to protect their city or feel bad for leaving.
Chernihiv, the city of Chernihiv, that's a city under a lot of pressure now too. What are you hearing?
Yeah, there's still heavy fighting going on there. And there are reports now, though, that that Russia is refocusing its offensive, possibly, it's believed, towards the east. So there's also in Zaporizhia, in Orykiv, which is not far from Zaporizhia city, about 40 kilometres away, there's heavy fighting there. And most of Zaporizhia is occupied at the moment. So some estimates have said that Zaporizhia only has days until troops come up to surround the city. And the regional administrator, military administrator for the Donetsk Oblast, which is was partly separatist before this current invasion, has actually told all civilians that they should leave. And so there are fears for places like Chernihiv in the north, but also the east. People are worried that it's going to get very bad here soon.
So that city where you are, which was considered the bastion of safety for people escaping from Mariupol, it seems as though that situation is not going to last.
There are fears that it's going to change here quite quickly, because so some people believe that Russia's plan is to try to cut the east of the country off entirely by coming up from the south through Zaporizhia and down from the north through Kharkiv, which has also seen a lot of heavy fighting, and Dnipro, which is just north of Zaporizhia, so that the east can be entirely cut off from supplies, from other rail connections, from other things. And so people are very concerned at the moment about what's going to happen in the east, because the east is also, people are already, they've had an 8-year war in the east. It's already a poorer region. It's already where a lot of older people, there's a lot more vulnerable people. So these people are really already not in a good situation. So if things get worse, it's going to be very bad for them indeed.
What are you hearing about Odessa?
Odessa, there were two strikes yesterday, I believe, on Odessa, but it's still considered fairly safe, apart from Mykolaiv, which is nearby, where there's been some very heavy fighting. But Odessa, what the plan, well, it's believed the plan was that it was going to be taken by the Russian warships, but then the Ukrainian military actually destroyed one of them, and it's so far managed to keep relatively safe.
Just when you think about what was discovered in Bucha and the dreadful situation there, Liz, I would imagine that the expectation is that that scenario is going to be repeated in other places. Is that what you're hearing?
That's definitely the fear, yeah. People are very worried, especially in cities like Kharkiv, in Mariupol, in Irpin, in Chernihiv, as you mentioned. People believe that the true death toll of the war is far higher than estimated so far. The UN has estimated that it's around 1,100. This was before the Bucha bodies were discovered. People are worried, yeah, that the real death toll is many times higher than that.
Liz Cookman, thank you very much for joining us today from Ukraine.
Thank you.
Ukrainian MP Vladimir Ariev from the European Solidarity Party joins me now from Kiev. Vladimir, thank you for joining us this morning. The photographs and the images that have been shared around the world of Bucha are haunting, disturbing, very upsetting. Can you tell us how you feel seeing those images?
Well, I can't describe the feeling I has because the massacre a Russian made in Bucha, Irpin, and smallest towns on the western part of Kyiv suburbs. This is really horrible. And if we have a new Srebrenica story in 21st century, that this is it. What we have. I'm really in shock, and we in Kyiv predicted that something horrible happened there, but we couldn't estimate the real tragedy happening in these towns. It was very pretty and prosperous towns. Bucha, 30,000 inhabitants lived there, and at least now, at the first counting, more than 300 were found killed, and this is far from the end of counting dead bodies. And we can't estimate how many people were buried in mass graves that were found on charge courtyard in Bucha. So we are going on with estimating what happened there. It's real disaster.
Vladimir, is the belief that most men between the ages of 16 and 65 in Bucha, is the belief that they were killed?
Russian killed all possible men they could found there. Of course, some men from this age remain alive because they were hiding everywhere possible to hide and not appear in front of Russian soldiers. But you know that there are not only men. The tragedy that boys, even less than 16 years, were killed by shot in back with hands with rope on their hands. It's, you know, this is something bestial, what the pictures from Bucha, which is circulating now in our media. And
Vladimir, the expectation must be, and the fear must be, that this scene will be repeated in other towns, in other cities in Ukraine?
I do think that we don't know what the real situation in Mariupol, what can happen there after the entering Russian troops in Mariupol. The signals are really very bad, and also the horrible stories we've heard from suburbs of Kharkiv, Chernihiv, and Sumy on the northern and northern east part of Ukraine. And you know, this story will be repeated in much more big scale if Russia back to attack Ukrainian, any Ukrainian territories. If Russia will try to take a control over the new territories, if you can read the absolutely new Russia article on a Russian state resource called RIA Novosti, and there are clear message from Kremlin about future ethnical clean of Ukraine from Ukrainians, because they are clearly talking now about de-Ukrainization of Ukraine. And these events happen in Bucha. This is only a first step. And if the world remain situation the same, if the world will not help us to defend ourselves, so Ukraine could be eliminated like a nation, because Russia always warned about its plan, because this plan of the full-scale invasion to Ukraine were discussed in Russian state information agency 1 and 2 years ago.
I see the EU has issued a statement saying it's urgently discussing new sanctions on Russia after the atrocities witnessed over the weekend. I'm sure you would welcome that. What more can be done now by the EU to help?
First, it's not about EU decision, but about every single state to supply Ukraine with weapons first. The second, to join embargo, to make an embargo on energy trading with Russia, and the oil matter is the crucial one. And very important now to analyze what companies supplied Russia with details and components to produce Russian rockets, with electronic, with the technology models, with technology services, and completely stop to deliver every single thing, every single product that could be used in Russia to produce a weapon that now falling down to Ukrainian cities and towns and villages. So this is vitally important, not only for Ukraine, but for security in Europe as well.
Vladimir, thank you for your time this morning and for joining us on the programme. That's Ukrainian MP Vladimir Ariev from the European Solidarity Party. And I'm joined now on the line by Kevin Byrne, a retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor. Kevin, good morning to you. The horrors
morning,
of Bucha,
Claire.
The depravity of what we've heard there and what we've seen, it's almost
yes.
unimaginable. But is that sort of behaviour typical of war?
No, it shouldn't be. To me, when I saw it last night, that it was horrific and horrifying. Shooting civilians who are not in any way involved in warfare is a war crime, and we've said that for quite a while now. If it's happening on a small scale, you could say the discipline has fallen on the Russian side. Their non-commissioned officers and officers have lost control of the troops. If, however, it's widespread and it's part and parcel of a wider plan, then it's much more sinister. It's medieval almost. And I listened very carefully to the deputy mayor of Kiev, and he's used the word Nuremberg in his language, and I recognised straight away what he was saying. He's saying, have the Russians not realised what happened after World War II? You can fight a war properly or improperly. If you break the Geneva Convention, there are sanctions to be paid, and the Russians may yet pay that.
And do you see this behaviour as a response to what many are seeing now as a failed offensive?
Yes, I think so. The objective was, in my opinion, to take very quickly the city, the capital, and remove the government and replace it with a puppet state. That was the plan. It failed abjectly, and it's now seen as, not worth pursuing. In some ways, this is good for the state of Ukraine, because it means the capital is now secure again. The troops and the immediate threat to it have been taken away. It will allow, for example, I think great supplies coming across the border from European Union and NATO sources. So that is secure. The Russians have removed the immediate threat by taking the artillery away, which was normally within range, maybe 30 or 40 kilometres, and have decided to concentrate their forces down in Donbass and places further south. So for the immediate security of the future of the country, this is really good news, even though it doesn't look like it at the short term.
Yeah, I mean, we heard from Vladimir Ariev there a moment ago.
Yes.
I mean, the fear is what will be revealed now in Mariupol whenever that situation allows for people to go in and see what has happened there. Given
yes.
what we saw in Bucha, you would expect similar there?
Possibly so. I mean, there are the people who are kept in Mariupol are pawns. If they will not allow Red Cross, which is an absolutely neutral, organisation, to move in and help, that too is a war crime in that regard. The problem the Russians have come up against is the fighting spirit of the Ukrainian forces, and it's a force multiplier. And when the forces, who I think will be moved from Kiev down towards the Donbass to reinforce their troops there, they'll be battle-hardened, and they will not be an easy walkover, despite what the Russians have. When you see what's happening, it just enforces the people in the fighting spirit. I expect lots of combat to take place there, and it will not be a walkover for the Russians.
So you're saying then, and you're clear that when it comes to Kiev, that battle has been fought and lost by Russia. It's over there.
Yes, in the short term it is. It doesn't mean they won't fire cruise missiles from time to time. It doesn't mean they won't continue bombing. And Lviv is there. You might remember they bombed a training camp close to the Polish border. That was done to make a point to say, we have intelligence on where you are and what you're doing, but they don't seem to have the reach. You don't fire cruise missiles, which are a relatively expensive item, on targets that are not very strategic. You reserve that for something that's proper. They don't have enough of them, I don't think. They fire them from the Black Sea, from ships, they fire them from aircraft, and they can fire them from ground, but they're long-range strategic weaponry.
It's interesting, isn't it, when you think about these forces, and I know that you say this, that many of the generals on both sides, that they would have studied together, they would have learned war tactics and military tactics together.
Not only that, but you see, before the fall of the Soviet Union, it was one great, Soviet Union. They would have been trained together. Some of the generals actually would know each other personally because they were cadets together. Then the split up took place. Ukraine became independent. But what the advantage the Ukrainians have is that they know quite well what the Russian thinking is and how they move in terms of tactics and strategy. They also have the exact same equipment, more or less. There was a video on last night showing them, the Ukrainians, taking weaponry and ammunition out of a destroyed armoured personnel carrier. They can use captured ammunition and distribute it. So it's a very strange place to be. One other point about Russian tactics is they don't, they don't like initiative too much. They certainly don't promote it. It's very much a top-down organisation. And as I can see now, they seem to have lost as many as 5 generals in the Russian forces, according to the Ukrainians. Certainly 3 of them were killed by what they said, enemy action. That's an awful force change to make, and it's quite a shock to the troops on the ground when your general's killed. It's a very rare event. To lose 5 seems to be very careless, in my opinion.
Kevin, thank you very much for joining us once again on the programme. That's Kevin Byrne there. Coming up next, ructions in government over measures to tackle the cost of living, with a focus on that carbon tax hike. That's after this break.
Text 51551, today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.